Chapter number 14 tonight, as we continue on in our series through the book of Judges. We're going to continue on in our story of Samson a little bit of an interesting story tonight. Samson's going to try to have a wedding. And you would think in the wedding, that's supposed to be a joyous time, right? An exciting time, a good time, everybody's happy. But lots of times weddings aren't that way. Lots of times there's a lot of drama. Lots of times there's a lot of fighting and arguing. You should try being the one in charge or the pastor of the wedding. And when people start complaining and fighting, it's not the way it's supposed to be. But you're going to see in this story, this is a wedding like anything you've ever seen before. Not only do you have fighting, you have you got people crying, you got people dying in the end. There's a lot of interesting things that happen in this story. And it's all because of Samson. It's all because of what he's doing in his life. We talked about it last week. We saw some really warning signs in last week in the story. We saw it a couple weeks ago. We saw Samson. You know, he had this great opportunity. God was going to enable him and was going to fill him with power and might, and he was going to have the opportunity to deliver his nation from the great Philistines. They were slaves. They were under bondage, and he had this opportunity. That was God's will for his life. That's what God had prepared him for. That's what God had set him aside to do, but he really didn't care about God's will. He didn't really care. He never lived up to what God desired for him to do. He never did it. It says that he began to deliver. He began to do what God called him to do. He began to deliver the nation out of the Philistines. We saw last week some of the warning signs. We saw where he was headed down the wrong pathway. It was as a young man, he goes into a place he really didn't need to be at, and he saw a lady that he really should not have desired, but he wanted to have her. And he said, I'm going to have that woman to be my wife. He goes home and tells his parents. He says, hey, mom, dad, go get this woman for me. And they says, isn't there any Israelites? Because back then that was breaking the law. And not only was Samson a child of God, but he must be the battery. That means I had to stand behind the pulpit the whole time. That's okay, though. We can figure it out. But you think about it, that Samson there, he goes and he wants this woman. His parents says, no, this is not really what we desire for you. This is not what God wants. And Samson said, I want her. She pleaseth me. So he cared more about his feelings and what God desired. So one of the warning signs, there was five warning signs last week. You know, we said trusting our heart more than God's word is a warning sign. If there's ever a time in your life when you know what God's word says, but you know what, my heart wants this, that's a warning sign. You need to step back and need to examine your heart. Another warning sign is when you are not willing to listen to authority. God's given us all different types of authorities in our lives. And when we're not willing to be listening to that authority, you know what? There's a problem. That's a warning sign. Another third warning sign is when being in the wrong place does not bother you. We talked about as a Nazarite, he was not someone who was supposed to take a part of wine or a strong drink or a fruit of the vine at all, any type of juice. And where was he at? He was in the vineyards. And then you also see in the warning sign number four was when you're willing to take chances of God's wrath. We saw last week that disrespected God, didn't really have much interest or respect for God and God's will for his life. So what does he do? He kind of plays with it. He says, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but he not only goes to the vineyard, kills the lion, but he goes back and takes the honey, and then he gets his parents to get involved in it. These are all warning signs, and you're going to see how he started off as a miraculous birth, a miraculous child. Remember, the mom was barren. She wasn't able to have children. God allowed her to have this child set apart specially for a Nazarite, as a Nazarite, specially also to be able to deliver the nation of Israel. He had a great plan that God had for him. He just didn't care. I want to encourage you tonight, God's got a great plan for all of us. It doesn't matter who we are. Whatever God wants you to do with your life, it's great. You say, well, it's nothing special. No, if the God of the universe has designed you and enabled you and given you this job, whatever the job is, it's the best thing for you. I know sometimes we have to deal with people that maybe we don't want to, or we have to deal with pains that we don't want to, or we have to deal with diseases that we don't want to. But if God is allowing you to go through it, just keep on walking through it, because that's God's plan and desire for you. Not only did Samson show little regard to this Nazarite vow, he actually violated this vow. He didn't tell anybody about it, and he's headed towards trouble. And we're going to see here today that he continues on with this marriage to this lady, and it's going to cause more problems. We call tonight's message, Samson, a gambling man. You say, a gambling man, yes. And when I'm looking at it, he is gambling with his life. Not only is he gambling with his life, you're going to see here in a minute. You're going to see here in a minute that it talks about a wager he makes. Should I turn my microphone off? Or is it not conflict? Okay. So let's look here. We're gonna read verses 10 to the end of the chapter, chapter 14. We're going to tell the story, and then we're going to look at this idea of Samson, a gambling man. Let's look here at verse number 10. So his father went down unto the woman. Now, who's the woman? This is the woman that he wants to marry. This is the woman his father didn't want him to marry, but he still said, get her for me. She does please me well. So the father went down unto the woman. He said, well, that's kind of strange. Well, back in Bible times, this is what would happen. The father would go to the other father, make an agreement together. Many times he would give them a dowry, and he would give a payment to be able to take that woman to be his son's wife. And that's what you see here. This happens, and then there's a betrothal period. So the first time you saw it happen was earlier, and usually there's a betrothal period. Usually it lasts for a year. During that year, the man will go and get the house ready. The wife will begin to get herself ready to be a wife. And so this time period, so last week we saw that to make the agreement. This week they're getting ready to go to the wedding and have a wedding feast. And it says here, and so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. So this is a normal tradition. Now remember, he is going to an area that's inside of Israel, but it's under Philistine control. So for all parts, this is a Philistine area right now. It's in Timnath. And here he's going to make a feast. If you go and study that word feast out, it's not just food, it also involves wine. And once again, that's a dangerous thing for a man who has a vow that he shouldn't be around that because he shouldn't be taking part of it. So the young men used to put on this feast. Many times it would last for many days. We're going to see that this feast lasts for 7 days. So what does that tell us? That tells us that Samson's family is probably not poor. They'll be able to last that long. It's probably something that they had a little bit of wealth. And this was the plan. Verse number 11, and it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Now, normally back in Bible times, in this culture, they would bring friends with them. Just like when we have a wedding, we have people that come, and the groom would have groomsmen and escorts, and there would be a group that came with them. But since he was an Israelite getting ready to marry a Philistine, there's a good chance that either because, you know, Samson's a little prideful, he probably didn't think he needed anybody, or that no one would go with him, or that was part of the arrangement that they would just provide his men. So they provided 30 men. And we're going to see in a little while, these are not very nice guys. First of all, these are Philistines. They're uncircumcised. They don't care in the one true God. But these men are also very dangerous men. Let's see here. And the 30 companions to be with him. Verse number 12. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. Now, these 30 sheets are talking, it's like a linen, a very soft linen that they would use for undergarments, the men would. And the 30 changes of garments are something that pretty much that the rich people would wear. So this is big money here. This is not just, you know, one normal suit of clothes. This is something you're going to have to provide me 30 different changes of garments that are like something a wealthy person would wear. Verse number 13, but if you cannot declare it to me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle that we may hear it. So we see the wager that's given here. The wager is, hey, look, if you can answer my riddle, I'll give each one of you these clothes. If not, all 30 of you have to give me one change of clothes or the special clothes. Verse 14, and he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and that out of the strong came forth sweetness, and they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. So, you know, he tells a riddle here that really isn't fair. You ever heard of a riddle before that really seems impossible to answer? I have. You ever had some kids come up and make a riddle or a joke and say, hey, I got this joke for you, and it makes no sense at all? And you're like, there's no way you could answer that because it doesn't make any sense. And that's what this is. Unless you knew the story like we do, he's speaking about the lion that came up to destroy him and how he killed the lion and how later he received the honey. That was the riddle. There's no way anybody could have had that answer unless They are familiar with it. Verse number 14, it says they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. They couldn't figure it out. And it came to pass on the seventh day, so this is the last day, that they said unto Samson's wife, this is the one he's getting ready to marry, entice thy husband that he may declare it unto us the riddle. Lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire, have ye called us to take that what we have? Is it not so? So in the story here, what he's saying is that these guys can't figure it out. Seventh day, they come to the spot, they realize they're going to have to ante up here, so they go to the wife and says, get your husband to tell us the answer to the riddle. If you do not tell that, what we're going to do is we're going to burn you and your father's house. I said these 30 guys aren't the nicest guys in the world. You invite them to a feast, and now they're threatening to kill you and kill not only and take your father's possessions too. And their reasoning is at the end. Have you called us to take that we have? And they're saying, you brought us here. We signed up to come here to stand for this guy for you, and now you're doing this riddle for us, and now we can't. You're trying to take our stuff. And so they're upset. They're angry. Verse 16, and Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and have not told it me. So she goes and she starts crying. She starts whining. She starts, you don't love me like you said you do. If you love me, you would do this. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told of my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she's like, I haven't told anybody. In verse number 17, and she wept before him the 7 days. So we see here at the beginning, she knew of the riddle at the beginning of the 7 days, because it says for 7 days she's trying to get this information out because she knows these guys and knows what's going to happen if they lose the bet. While the feast lasted, and it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her because she lay sore upon him. She continued and just continued and continued. It became something that was very, very displeasing to him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. So he responds. He got tired of hearing it. He responds. And she goes and she runs and she betrays her husband. And the men of the city said unto him, on the seventh day before the sun went down, right at the end, right when they were getting ready to have to pay out the bet, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. So Samson's here, and he's quick-witted here. He says, look, if you wouldn't have gotten it from my wife, you would have never known the answer. Verse number 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Eshcolon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled and he went up to his father's house. So you see a couple of interesting things in here. We talked about this last week about how the Spirit of the Lord, they were using this. God wanted the Israelites to be delivered out of the Philistines. He had chosen Samson. He allowed certain things to happen that in certain times that God would use Samson to be able to deliver them. Samson has not done this. He uses a situation, and from this, Samson goes and he starts to pick a fight. Instead of going and buying the clothing, instead of going and getting it measured out, what does he do? He goes and actually kills 30 different men, and he gives them their garments. And it says at the end, he went up to his father's house. What does that mean? It means he didn't get married. He never consummated the marriage. He went to his father's house instead of staying there with the home where they were supposed to be at. Verse number 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as his friend. This is the same thing in the Bible times, which is tradition, that if something happened to where the groom could not fulfill his duties as husband, it would be given to the best man. You've got to be very careful whose best man you're going to be because you might end up married. So, and that's what you see here in the story. And so that's what you have here. And when it deals with Samson's wedding and you see the different things that happen, but we're going to talk a little bit about this. And I think it would be a help to us tonight when we look at this. And as we go into this, let's think about this way. Are we playing with God? Are we gambling with our lives? God's got a plan, God's got a purpose, but sometimes we don't keep our heart with all diligence. Sometimes we do not know what we're supposed to do. We let sin creep in, we let sin enter in, and when we start playing around with God and we start playing around with sin and start playing around with our heart and playing around with the Word of God, you know what happens? This happens. It ends up a mess. Three things I want you to see. Number one is Samson's wedding. As I said before, a wedding should be something that's exciting. It should be something that is thrilling. It should be a place where people get encouraged and a place where people can just weep with tears of joy. But we see here that this is a time of arguments. This is a time of threats. This is a time of crying. This is a time of killing. So what's wrong with this wedding? First of all, Samson was marrying the wrong woman. His father had told him, no, we don't want to do this, and he didn't care. He cared more about what he thought than what God thought. Second thing, you see, he had the wrong company. You know, what do you mean? He had these 30 Philistine men that were around him. We know that they're not the good guys of the world because of we see the reaction to the riddle. You know, he had the wrong company around him. Bad company will always bring bad behavior. Be careful who you're playing around with. If you're around the wrong people, if you're dating the wrong person, if you're around the wrong friends, the wrong company, it's going to end up in a mess like it does for Samson. And most of us know how the story ends. Later on, Samson gets captured by the Philistine. They take out his two eyes, and he's treated like an animal for the most part. But that didn't happen today, but it's a downward path that you see happening. Samson is playing around and goofing around and messing around instead of doing God's will. You also see the wrong motivations here. You know, his motivation was for the fact that this woman by her, before he ever even saw her, before he ever even talked to her, he says, that's the woman I want. And we see here that his fleshly desires got him the wrong woman. And we see the woman says, oh, you don't love me. But what happens in the end? The woman turns her back on Samson and tells the riddle. So you see Samson's wedding here. And I gave you a little bit of what's going on and how it works with the feast and it's the man that pays the dowry. It's the father's side the husband's side that puts on the feast. It's the husband. Nowadays, many times it's the lady's side or the bride's side that does that. But back in Bible times, it was the husband's side. Second thing I want you to think about is Samson's wager. This is what we'd like to spend a little bit of time on tonight. Samson's wager. Think about Samson's gall here. Think about his he just doesn't care, does he? He goes and he makes a riddle out of what? His riddle is about his past sin. He should have never been in the vineyard. He should never have been confronted by the lion. He should have never gone back to the lion and picked up the honey. You say, well, if you've been here the last few weeks, remember, as a Nazarite, you can't drink wine or juice or things, so there's no need to be in the vineyard. You can't touch a dead body, and that's what he goes back and he does when he gets the honey. Those are all things off limits. And he has become so hard-hearted towards his sin, not only does he not tell his parents when he gives the honey to him, what does he do? He's very callous towards it. He now is making jokes about it. He's making up riddles about it. And this is it's like a downward spiral. This is a blinking light here that he has become so callous to his sin that he does not care about breaking his Nazarite vows. He does not care about disrespecting his parents. He does not care about any of these things. His heart is so hard and so cold to the things of God, he'll do whatever he wants. And now you say, well, he had that feast. The wine was there. Doesn't mean he drank it. I don't think Samson would have stayed from that. Samson didn't have any problems breaking any of the other vows. I bet you he drank of it freely. But that was what the responsibility, and it's important. God responds to a tender heart. Remember what he said to Josiah? Josiah begged God for God's mercy, and he said, thine heart was tender. And because his heart was tender, what did he do? He turned around and he held back the punishment that Israel was going to happen. But in Jeremiah, it talks about, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. And in the time of the visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So here Samson is getting to a spot that we see the downward progression in his life. God had something great planned for him. He had a purpose, but he started doing things his own way. And now he's making fun of his sin. He has great gall. He is not convicted of his sin. Instead, he's playing with his sin. He even says in that verse, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. And you see the world that we live in today. It's like people could care less about their sin. They could care less about their shame. Were they ashamed of what they did? No, they were happy about it. They were proclaiming it. They were saying it out loud. They were saying, hey, look at me. And did not care, did not even cause in the blush that they could go against God and God's word.
So Samson here is, he is losing this bet with his life because of the fact that he's now getting cold-hearted. Next thing, you see Samson's greed. Not only his gall, but his greed. You say, where's his greed at? Well, you think about it, this wager was simple. If the Philistines could not answer the riddle, he would get 30 things of garments. If not, Samson would have to pay it. So instead, his riddle, his greed, was so much that he wanted to have more things. He wanted to be able to dress like royalty. He wanted to have everything he wanted. And he was willing to take from others to do this. Greed is something that is very, very dangerous. The Bible says, he that is greedy to gain trouble his own house. But he that hateth gifts shall live. He that is greedy of gain trouble his own house. Samson's wager has the hallmarks of gambling. It has a lot to do with people who are gambling, and I believe gambling is a sin. I know the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not gamble, but at the same time, it does talk about greed. It does talk about talk against covetousness. It talks about the love of money being the root of all evil. It tells us to avoid get-rich type schemes in the book of Proverbs. So it's important to remember here, gambling is something that he was trying to do here. He said, well, it's just over some clothes. If it's gambling for a $1 million bet, or it's gambling over just a dollar or two of pocket when you're playing pool, it's still gambling. And God tells us that we need to be careful with our hearts. And this is the point. Samson didn't protect his heart here. That's why he's at this wedding. That's why this all is going wrong. That's why he's willing to do this. He didn't keep his heart clean. You see Samson's gamble. Samson never, ever thought that the men were going to do it. Samson never thought that they weren't going to play by his rule. Samson never thought his wife was going to turn her back on him. Samson never... Sin is going to take you farther than you want to go. Sin is going to cause problems. Samson thought he had it all figured out. Nothing was going to happen bad. Everything was good. He was going to get all these clothes. He wasn't really hurting anybody. They're just Philistines anyway. He was going to get the woman he wanted. Everything was going to be great. Everything was going to be fine. That's not how sin works. There is always a penalty to pay. There's always a due date coming when it comes to our sin. It's like your credit cards. You know, you get that first credit card and you go out and you spend. Then you get that first statement and you're like, wow, I got to pay this? It's because there's something you're going to have to pay here. And that's what Samson is gambling with his life, and he's gambling with his possessions. He's gambling. He thought everything was going to be just fine. It didn't work out the way he thought. Let me put a little side note here. And I don't want you to think I'm picking on ladies at all, but I do want to put a little side note here. If you marry the wrong person, you're in for a long haul. You know, it's the reality is that this woman here, it says that she wept before him in verse number 16. What it makes me think of when she wept before him, that she didn't weep at other times. The only time she wept was to try to get Samson to tell him the riddle. She was doing this because she was afraid for her life. She was afraid for her father's life. She did not talk to Samson about it, but instead she's, and I understand the fear, but she sits there and uses her tears to try to get her way. That's not godly. I want to encourage ladies in the room. The Bible talks about a lady that continually will be a person who fights and a person who is contentious, or a person who will be crying all the time just to try to get their ways. That's a very, very hard thing to deal with. Think about these couple of verses. A continual dropping in a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Proverbs 25:24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. You read those verses and you're like, they're saying for a guy, it'd be better that you live out in the wilderness than have to deal with a woman who is angry and contentious all the time. I'm just trying to tell you, be careful. Husbands, make sure you're treating your wife, you love your wife as Christ loves the church. And that doesn't matter how they're acting. But at the same time, ladies, don't listen to what the world says. And the world tells you, oh, turn on these, you know, keep on complaining. Sooner or later, you might get your way. Or pour on the tears. You might be able to convince and change your husband's heart and mind. Where is faith in all this? And we need to be careful with that. And both of our relationships as husbands and wives, and making sure that we have a right relationship, and that the refining the responsibilities of the wife. This lady is a perfect example of someone who kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. Oh, you don't love me to wait. And it's very careful. Ladies, that's not the way you're supposed to act. You know, when people say, if mama's not happy, then no one's happy, that is not godly at all. That is kind of cute. We like to, I mean, I was like, you know, if mom's not happy, you know, nobody's happy. We like to joke about it a little bit, but in all reality, is that the woman of the Bible it talks about? It's not. The meek and quiet spirit, it's not. Now, husbands, you know, we talk more about the husbands than we do the ladies. You know, you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church, which means unconditionally, which means continually, which means there's a lot of things both there. But you see this example of this lady here, don't be like this. Well, if I get my way, it's okay. No. That's not how we're supposed to get our way. Let God work in your heart. Let God work in your life. And let God be a godly wife, be a godly mother, and trust that God can take care of these things. Samson tells her the solution. What does she do? She runs to the enemy at the last minute. They give it. And what happens? They end up losing. He ends up losing the bet. And what the third thing is, not only you see Samson's wedding, Samson's wager, you see Samson's wrath. How does he respond? He gets angry. Look what it says in verses number 19. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men. He gets mad. He goes and kills somebody. Thankfully, we don't do that today. But at the same time, this period of time and this dispensation is different. And God is trying to get Samson to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. And we got to be careful. How do we react to things? Samson here, if he had a heart that was for God, he could have reacted and said, you know what? This is all wrong. You know what? I'm at the wrong spot. I'm surrounded by the wrong people. I'm marrying the wrong woman. I need to get my heart right. I need to get things right. I need to get back to God. That's not what he does. How does he react? He gets angry. He gets mad. And sometimes when we hear things and experience things, how do we react? If we want to be like Christ, you know what? We need to react the way Christ would. If we act like Christ, we're going to react like Christ. If we don't react like Christ, there's something wrong inside of our hearts. I know that this is something I am always working on. I try my best to be Christ-like. I try to do best for my reactions. And the place that I'm less patient than anything is at my own house. Because I want them to be good. I want them to be right. And I'm patient with lots of people. But when it comes to my family, I'm not as patient as I like to be. Now, I don't pick things up and I don't throw things. I'm not saying that. But I just know that my patience is not as good with them as it is with most people. And that's something I want to be like Christ. How am I going to react to this? Samson had tremendous opportunity, tremendous responsibility, and he blew it. He had so much that God had given him for. So he goes 20 miles down the road. He goes and he kills 30 men. It's a cruel thing. This would have put the Philistines on guard. This would have been a very negative thing for them. And now he's going to begin judging Israel. Samson is so angry that he does not even stay with his wife. And you see here, when I read this story, I'm thinking, man, they don't respect their wedding vows very much, it doesn't seem like here. They don't care much about their marriage. Samson just gets up and leaves. And then the father-in-law says, okay, if you don't want her, I'll give her to somebody else. And the wife was willing to just turn her back on her husband and says, oh, you don't love me. But then she goes and runs and tells the other third. There isn't much respect for marriage. We live in a society where there is so much divorce, and there's so many people getting divorced for so many wrong reasons, and we need to be very careful here. So how do we fix that in our circles? How do we fix that in our church? We want to respond the way Christ does. If Samson did not have such a hard heart, he might have saw, you know what, I did all these things that are wrong. Let me go somehow get 30 garments. Let me try to begin this relationship, or let me get back with God. He doesn't do all that. His sin doesn't bother him at all. He is gambling. He's saying, okay, God, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you do. I'm going to still go do my own thing. He's headed toward a very dangerous path. Are you gambling with your life? And I'm not talking about the sins of gambling here or buying lottery tickets or going to casino. No, no, no. I'm talking about, you know what you're supposed to be doing with your heart and with your life. Are you living that way? Samson knew what he was supposed to do, and we saw all those warning signs last week. He could care less what God thought, and what happens in the end? This wedding turns out to be horrendous. People end up dying. You know, the wife marries a different man. It turns out to be a complete mess because Samson does not care what God thinks. Do you care what God thinks tonight? in your life, do you care what the Word of God says? I read this story and I'm like, this is a complete and utter mess. How did he get here? You go back a couple of chapters and God's giving him great ability, and great privilege, and great responsibility. He doesn't care. In your life tonight, do you care? Don't be gambling with the opportunity God's given you. God says, I want you to do this. I want you to do this for me. I want you to live for me. This is what I have for you. This is your future. Don't gamble it away by living a life of sin. Don't be throwing it away and saying, well, if I do this little bit of sin, or if I do this little bit of sin, or if I just get my way here and I get my way here, you're gambling with God. You're playing with him. And it never ends up well. Any place you go, gambling causes greed and more crime follows. You go back and you look at different places that have started different casinos, you'll always see those areas become places of more crime and more greed and more. It's never a good thing. It never ends up being a good thing. Just like in our own lives, if we gamble with our own lives and we continue to play with sin, it's never going to end up the way you thought it was. Samson just thought, I can take these 30 jokers and I can look at them. They're Philistines. They don't want to be here. I don't want them here. I just take some clothes from them. Nothing's ever going to cause a problem. It's all going to be good. It didn't work out the way he expected it. And when you go throughout the Bible and people talk about their sin, if you're a child of God, it never works out the way you think it's going to. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.